welcome to another episode of the Rayados 90 podcast. I'm your host, Eddie, and joining me, it's been a while, but still alive. it's Pat. Pat, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Yeah, it's been forever, but good to be back.
Yeah, no, it's been a while. A lot's been going on with Monterrey. Obviously, the most newsworthy is they'll be going to face Inter Miami and Lionel Messi and all that stuff. But before we get to that, let's try to recap everything as much as possible in these next 30 to 40 minutes. What's going on with the club from January 1 to now, March 21. Let's start with the team. They are unbeaten. I believe the streak is at 14, if I'm not mistaken. 14 matches unbeaten or something like that. If I'm not mistaken. The team is just right now clicking on all cylinders. Brandon Vasquez has hit the ground running. Cocho Rodriguez has hit the ground running. Gerardo Arteaga has hit the ground running. A healthy Sergio Canales has hit the ground running. Everything is clicking on all cylinders. I just want to get your overview thoughts on what you've liked about the team, who has stood out to you, or just any like observations that you've had about this team, in 2024.
Yeah, it's been a good season in a lot of ways for sure. We have been disappointed before we came. I came in disappointed for the season, like, another season, let's see how it goes, and that type of mentality. But the team looks well. Yeah, I'm liking to speak on individual performances. Obviously, Andrada has been crazy in goal, like insane. I think his highlight reel of his career. A lot of his saves will be from this season. There's been some incredible ones, and then obviously, you mentioned some, but like, Corcho Rodriguez came in really well. Arteaga came in really well. Brandon Vasquez came in really well. This for the newcomers. And then the typical ones that are always there or have been here from before. Gallardo has been stepping up as well. And I'm liking Maxi Mesa a little bit, that's for sure. And then I don't know. I guess we have a lot of people that come in and out in terms of like their game. They have like a good 2-game run and then maybe slow for one match and stuff like that. But it's good. It's a good, well-balanced team. Like Luis Roma has been doing well. I think Jordi Cortizo is the guy that's also been doing well. So I'm just liking how if one player doesn't do it, there's another one that comes up. So I'm liking the balance of the team.
Yeah, no, that I think that's why, they bring in depth, so like they're able to rotate. So in case one player isn't doing well, or it's just he's having a tough stretch, they can bring in somebody in and they won't miss a beat. I mean, one of the guys I think I don't want to say I'm concerned about, but I definitely expect more, or at least a little bit more off the bench. Is Tecatito Corona. Like, I would expect him to be like that difference maker off the bench. Again, we'll get into this when we cover into Miami more in depth, but just be like that. Nobody of his caliber is coming off. If we just want to talk about CONCACAF Champions Cup, like, nobody of his caliber is coming off the bench for them, right? Even some of the guy makers, no player of his caliber is coming off the bench, right? So it's, there's, to me, he's been, I don't want to say a disappointment, but definitely would like to see more from him. But I get your point where Maxi Mesa wasn't doing so well earlier, and I think Cortizo was the guy that was going, taking his minutes, right, in that right wing, right midfield role, or whatever you want to call it, in that, 4-2-3-1 formation. But I get what you're saying. It's just it's something that not a lot of teams in Mexico and MLS have in terms of like that depth. So we'll see how far they can take it. I think it's enough to win both the league and CONCACAF Champions Cup. So Yeah, we'll see. This team is right now clicking on all cylinders, and right now the sky's the limit. We'll see where it goes with them. But I want to touch on Brandon Vasquez a little bit because his I don't know if you want to call it persona, if you want to call it, you know, the Superman persona, if you want to call it that. But he's definitely like integrated himself well, not just into the team but into the fan base, and that's something that, you know, I it's not the end all be all. I mean, if you want to compare it to Funes Mori, I really didn't care if he was like that. To me, it's just he can score goals, which he's doing, and he did too against FC Cincinnati, pretty much put their season or ended their CONCACAF champions run. So like it was something you see out of a movie, something out of a series where it's somebody backstabs or you know, somebody from Game of Thrones or some series like that where you get a backstabbing like that. But I just wanted to get your thoughts just on Brandon Vasquez. What have you noticed in terms of the goal scoring, what you've liked, both on and off the pitch? What is, does it surprise you that he hit the ground running this quickly? Like, the only other goal scorer that's better than him is Salomon Rondon, and Rondon has a wealth of experience playing in Europe, right? So it's that's the only guy that's been better than him in Mexico this season. But I just wanted to get your quick thoughts on Vasquez and what you've noticed on him and just any other things you want to add when it comes to him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, like you said, I think the guy scores goals, and you know, his celebration really helped out with the love of the fans he's receiving. Like, you see all the kids with his Superman cape, and you know, that speaks volumes. That's a guy that you want to be cheering on week in and week out, just because you're knowing he's gonna score. So that brings you so much more to support there with Brandon. He's a young guy that's like trying to grow. I'm sure he has dreams of Europe, dreams of playing in World Cups and all that, but he seems just like a hard worker, and it's incredible how he's just came in and scored goals, and the fact that all the love that he has from the fans is already there in such short period. I think it's like 10 games, and now you know, U.S. men's national team fans are calling for him to be called up. I know the U.S. has a ton of attackers in Europe, which is really good for them, but some people are saying, like, you know, it doesn't matter that he's in Mexico. He's still performing. He's still scoring goals. So they're calling for him to be called up. I don't know. It's interesting to see what happens there. I mean, that's another topic that's not Rayados, but just speaks volumes on what he's doing, his impact with Rayados, and how, you know, he's already has his little fan base here in Monterrey in such a short time. They're asking Greg Berhalter to call him up to the U.S. men's national team. And, you know, pretty incredible stuff from him. So I'm liking it. I'm hoping it continues. Hoping it carries on into the playoffs, which is why we wanted another attacker.
Yeah, the first big test is, you know, when the FIFA break ends and Monterrey plays into Miami. That's the first major test for him, because again, the goals are nice. But, you know, the reason why they got rid of Funes Mori is because they wanted a striker that comes that consistently shows up in these big matches. I know Funes Mori has his moments, but I believe it's more being consistently in showing up and being the star in these key matches, and he'll get that opportunity. Because I'm assuming if it's a 4-2-3-1 against Inter Miami, again, not to get too much into that, but he's going to be the striker. He knows MLS defenders. I mean, Bertolama has scored against MLS defenders, but I'm guessing they're going to ride the hot hand in Vasquez. But we'll get there. But another guy that's really hit the ground running, and it's kind of making me feel like, okay, yeah, injuries kind of really derailed his first full tournament with Monterrey, Sergio Canales. Like, that guy is, whether it's providing not the assists, but the key passes, the goals, the leadership. You know, it's been what many expected, and what I really wanted, because when you go back and look at some of the stuff he did at Real Betis, I feel like that's the same thing he's doing now, you know, except injuries, you know, kind of hurt him in his first tournament. But now you're starting to see the full Sergio Canales. And again, you know, the reason why they brought him here is for these big matches against, you know, not to say Inter Miami is like a big match, but, you know, playing against Suarez and Messi and all that stuff. But what's your just takeaway on Canales and what you've noticed, what you've liked, or anything else that you want to add on that end? Because for me, he's just been great. Like, he's not the captain, but definitely I believe next tournament he'll definitely will be wearing the armband at some point. You know, when he isn't playing, I feel like right now he doesn't want to take the armband because he just wants to play. But I feel like next tournament you'll see him with the armband. Like this season, you've seen Moreno most of the time. The other times, I think it's been Maxi Mesa has worn it. I think Stefan Medina has worn it. I don't remember anybody else at the top of my head, but I feel like, you know, whenever Hector Moreno doesn't play next tournament, I feel like the obvious choice to be like the next one to wear it, or, you know, like a sub-captain or whatever you want to call it, it's Canales. But I just want to get your thoughts on what you've seen this season from him, just in general.
Well, first of all, I think we need to thank the guy that's uploading a picture of him daily so that he doesn't get injured. So thanks for that. And then he's just all over the place in attack. I love him. Injuries definitely need to keep away from this guy, because when he's in the pitch, he's performing, he's creating chances, assisting, shooting. He's not afraid of that. And like you said, he has like the captain mentality. He's a very experienced guy with a lot of leadership. He can come in and you know, rally the troops and make him play. He has that type of leadership mentality, but it's also can get down and dirty. He has that kind of grit, I would say. We love him. He can score, he can assist, he can create, but he's also running all over the place, left, right, middle. I like him a lot. I think if injuries continue to not affect him, we'll be in good places for sure with him in the pitch.
And you know, I think what helped this team is now having a left back that can defend a little bit, and then having that character of Arteaga. And I'll bump in Corcho Rodriguez. I'm going down the line of all these guys that have come in and just been amazing. But is there anything you want to add when it comes to those guys? Because to me, Corcho Rodriguez has been that midfielder that this team has needed, in terms of like the defensive midfielder that's going to do all the dirty work. But he does some really good passes, especially, I don't know if you saw the one against FC Cincinnati on that third goal, or that second goal, third goal on aggregate from Brandon Vasquez, where, yeah, Corcho Rodriguez isn't going to get the assist, but he should get at least the key pass where he passes it to Maxi Mesa, and Maxi Mesa does all the work, and then just all Brandon Vasquez has to do is just tap it in. But and then Arteaga, I think heading into that game against Cincinnati, he's and I think he scored the one before the second leg too. Like, he's been really good. He scored against Pumas. He's just been really, really good. And it's refreshing to have a defender that can not just contribute offensively but contribute defensively. Really, these signings have just been like, it's been what you wanted. Like, there's no quote-unquote adaptation period. It's just guys jumping in right away. But I don't know, before I switch topics, I just wanted to get your thoughts on any of those guys. If anything jumps out at you, or anything you've noticed watching them, or because I think Arteaga brings that character, right? I think you saw it in that first game against FC Cincinnati where I think it was Matt Miazga he was telling off, right? I think it was Miazga, if I'm not mistaken. But just having that character, and, you know, like, obviously you have to manage it. You don't want to get carried away, you know, for yellow card accumulation or red cards and stuff like that. but I just wanted to get your quick thoughts just on them before I switch topic, now that we're just going through all the players that have contributed really well this season.
Yeah, I think the thing I like the most from them is how quickly they adapted. They just came into a new league, a new system, and a new everything, and they just started playing. It seems like the team fits really well. Like, even though Arteaga and Corcho never, ever in a million years have played together plus or been in the same league or the same environment, they can come in and connect. And they can connect with Sergio Canales, and they can connect with Brandon Vasquez, all of these guys that come from very different backgrounds, very different leagues, very different everything, which is something really cool to see. And how, I don't know, I mean, maybe it's too early to speak about this, but sometimes we've talked about Rayados players having some sort of complacency, and mm-hmm. it just seems like this team is not so complacent. Maybe they're hungry for more, even though they have it everything in the club and the city and everything. So from Arteaga, I love what he does on the left side of the pitch. He's flashy. He's a little crazy, but you know, he contributes. And then Corcho is all over the place in the middle. His positioning is top level, and yeah, he can be a guy it's definitely going to be very important and very crucial for Rayados to continue to be balanced. He can start plays, like you said, but he can also help finish them with key passes. He can recover the ball. I don't know. It seems we got a good mix of players, and especially from the new ones. This speaks levels to the people bringing in the players, you know, the scouting department, if that's what we want to call them, or is it Tato Noriega by himself? I don't know, but whoever the people deciding, I think as of now, after whatever weeks we're in,
what's funny season, is that like it's one of those with Corcho, and I'm pretty sure it happens at every club, where he was pretty much plan B, but the way everything has played out, you're happy you got plan B, because sometimes plan B doesn't like work because you wanted plan A. And obviously the club wanted Viagra, who is now at River Plate, but mm-hmm. you know, the plan B has worked perfect. You know, I'm trying to think of the saying, you know, where it's like, I forget the saying, but you know, it's definitely, they're happy that they got, or they, you know, the situation with Viagra didn't work out, because now they have arguably one of the better, you know, defensive midfielders. And I think he bumps Luis Romo down, like, okay, now Luis Romo's our number two guy, right? Rather than the number one midfielder in terms of that DM role, right? So now you got those two, but you know, Porto's the one that's really like the star, you know, of those two guys. But yeah, so transitioning to just overall thoughts, because I'm trying to jam in as much as we, because we have not podcasted, well, in terms of like covering Monterrey, like an overview. I know I did some podcasting covering specific games, like the games against FC Cincinnati, but I'm just trying to jam in as much as I can in 30, 40 minutes. Your overall thoughts on the team, what are something that concerns you, or something that, hey, I had this concern going into the season, but that's been taken care of. I know I'm not no longer concerned about that. Something that I've noticed, you can take it as a double, you know, glass half full, glass half empty, because to me, Monterrey hasn't really gone for that killer instinct. Mm-hmm. And you got games against Pachuca, for example, where they were up 3-0, and then Pachuca scores two unanswered goals, and I feel like Pachuca just ran out of time. I feel like they had an extra 10-15 minutes and probably would have tied it. And then you got the game against Atlas, the game against Cincinnati, where you know, they go up 2-0 on aggregate, and I feel like FC Cincinnati came out of that halftime with just, hey, let's put all our chips in the table. And then Lucho Acosta scores an amazing goal, goes through like three or four Rayados players, and that's it. But eventually Monterrey gets that insurance goal that they need. But I would have liked for them to just end it. Don't play with your food. End it. You know, I just have that killer instinct. But at the same time, you can also say, hey, they get punched in the face, you know, but they don't have that pass mentality where everything falls apart, right? Like against Cincinnati, where, you know, Acosta scores like a few minutes into the into the second half, and I feel like maybe past Monterrey teams would have folded, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this team didn't, right? They took the shot, they took it on the chin, but they showed resilience. They fought through adversity and eventually got that goal from Vasquez, right? So you can take it either way. Mm-hmm. I understand those. I understand both. I, from my personal perspective, I would like for them to. I don't want to go through adversity. I'd rather them. Hey, we're up 3-0. We're just gonna score another 2 goals and we're gonna just blow you away, right? That's my preference. I don't want to handle adversity, but I get sometimes that's not the case. And credit to Cincinnati, I feel like they're the outlier in terms of MLS defenders, right? They have Miles Robinson, Matt Miazga, and DeAndre Ellen. Like those are two serviceable defenders, right? It's not like you know, other MLS teams where it's like you don't even, they're just trying to be average at best. Right, so I feel like Monterrey really got a challenge from a team that prioritizes defending. Right, but what do you have any overall thoughts on the season? Something like I said that's concerned you, or something that probably you came in with a concern, but that's been resolved. Anything like that?
I mean, kind of the same one. Yeah, you can look at it either way. I think I'm looking at it as in the more positive way right now with this situation, like the glass a little bit more half full. Like I don't know if I'm still, I know it's something you've said before, but I don't know if I'm still thinking about that. But another thing is, we haven't really, I mean, we've seen them play America this season. I think that's has been like the biggest game so far. Like we still need to see
them. And that game wasn't really like, those were like, that was before like the CONCACAF Champions Cup.
Yeah, right? That was
both of them were going to early. Central America. America was going to Honduras and exactly. Guatemala. So they were like, I felt like one of those games where it's like, hey, let's just play this game because we got other stuff that we need to do. So yeah. I feel like they had like the biggest test was Pachuca, and they for I think like 70-75 minutes they danced all over them. And they've been one of the better teams in the league, considering, you know, what they have, which is Chiquito Sanchez, Rondon, Idrissi, and then a bunch of youth players. Mm-hmm. But they got, you know, they got danced on. And that's like the only biggest, that's, I mean, again, aside from Cincinnati, I think Pachuca and Cincinnati have been like the biggest test that they've had so far this season.
Yeah, and then, yeah, exactly, Cincinnati as well, I would say. I wasn't too kind of afraid of them, but yeah, it's a big test nonetheless. And then we have this little run we're about to go in, which is Chivas, which isn't really a game. I mean, it's a big team, but it's not, they're not doing really well. And then Miami, and then Cruz Azul, then Miami, then Tigres. So that little run is scary in a way because all the games are like 3 days apart. So it's going to be interesting. It's Cruz Azul and Tigres are two big games for us, but at the same time we have Inter Miami in the middle of those, so it's going to be interesting to see how it manages out, because I mean it won't break our season if we don't perform against Cruz Azul or Tigres, because we're still going to be qualifying to the playoffs, but the CONCACAF Champions Cup can go. We can be eliminated, you know, in that little run. So, I mean, I'm not too afraid of Inter Miami either. Like, I know they have Messi, Busquets, Suarez, Jordi Alba, but the rest of the team, if you compare player by player, they're not better than Rayados players. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. I want to see them against the tougher opponents as Cruz Azul, Tigres.
Let me get your thoughts on this, Pat, before we go to, you know, touch on Inter Miami to close off the pod. Do you go with the alternate? Look, well, right now, look, we're recording this. Sorry if you can hear it. Like, I forgot today was garbage day. So, like, the garbage truck is passing. I have, like, a little foam to cover out the noise, but sorry if you hear that. We're recording this on the FIFA break. Monterrey has a friendly on Friday. Against Atlético San Luis.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much a lot of youth players who are not getting that much activity. And like you said, they're going to have a run. And to be honest, Inter Miami takes place or takes, like, importance. Everybody else gets alternate squads, even the game against Stevens. I think we've moved past I think Tigres and Monterrey have moved past the point where a regular season, like regular tournament, Clásico Regio, really doesn't matter. Like obviously you want to win it, but if you guys face each other in the semifinals of the CONCACAF Champions League, then that one's gonna matter. Or if you guys face each other in the Liguilla, I think over the last few years, the stakes have risen where it's like you can throw out an alternate squad and I feel like most people are going to be like, yeah, because Inter Miami takes that matchup takes preference, yeah. Takes place. Yeah. But back to my point with this FIFA break and this game against San Luis, I feel like Dan Ortiz has to figure out some young players that can get some minutes and play them, because you can't have Pocho Rodriguez playing back to back. You can't have Sergio Canales playing back to back.
Yeah, especially.
I feel like he has to find, and he did it a little bit with Chespi in that game against Tijuana, but Lopez didn't. I felt like he should have taken more of that advantage and made himself noticeable. I always feel like if you're a young player, if you're 18, 19, 20, 21, if you're going to make mistakes, make them trying to be aggressive, especially if you're an attacking player, right? Like, I would rather a young player make mistakes trying to create chances, trying to score goals, trying to help the attack, rather than what Lopez did is just be another player, right? Like, just blend in and not be a difference player. Like, he's coming off the bench, he's shown that he can contribute, right? But the next step for him, it's like, hey, I can do this over 60, 70, 80, 90 minutes, however you need me, right? Like, I feel like this friendly against San Luis, he has to figure out maybe one, two, maybe three youth players that can contribute. Because like I said, if I'm not mistaken, Monterrey's not going to have a break anymore. After this FIFA break, it's going to be weekend, midweek, until their CONCACAF Champions Cup, run ends, right? Whether it's they advance past Miami, they get Tigres or the Columbus Crew in the semifinals, and then they reach the final. So, like, it's just going to be weekend, midweek, at least for the next few weeks. If they advance past Miami, then it's going to be the same thing, right? So I feel like this game against San Luis, he has to figure out two or three players that can play some type of good significant minutes, right? Like, he debuted, last tournament they debuted, I think, six or seven, or like it was a lot of youth players. But I feel like this tournament, he has to figure out, Dan Ortiz, I'm saying, he has to figure out which youth players can contribute and then help them, because you have to rotate the squad. You just can't. If Canales plays 90 minutes against Inter Miami, hey, give him a break. Jorge Rodriguez plays 90 minutes, or if Diaga plays 90 minutes, give him a break. Same, at this point, just as much as if you can rest guys, rest them. I wasn't a fan of some of them playing against Mazatlan, but it is what it is. There, they got the W, but you have to, especially as these games get more intense with Inter Miami, whatever. If you can give them a break. Give them a break, That's why I feel like this friendly against San Luis. If I'm a youth player, I'm trying to make myself noticeable, especially if I'm an attacking player or midfielder. Try to make yourself noticeable. Try to say, hey, I can play minutes if you need to give these guys a break and contribute, right? Like, that's my hope. I really hope that's what happens in this friendly. He notes down maybe two or three players that can contribute in this stretch run, and we'll see where it goes there. But I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, Pat, in terms of that. If not, I can go switch over to the we'll touch on a little bit in Miami, but we won't get into a full analysis, breakdown, and everything. We'll just get some overview thoughts heading into this matchup. But anything you want to add there?
No, yeah, same. We have to find more people to come in, especially in these stretches where we have games every 3 days. We need to have more people. So hopefully, like you said, Tano figures it out. There's got to be a couple of players that could come in and perform. And, especially trying to find the players that have that mentality that they grow in, they perform better in bigger matches. So take advantage of that, and I think we'll be fine. I'm not really scared of that little run of matches that we have, but I want them. I don't know.
The only thing I'm just... yeah, Yeah, the only thing I'm scared about is injuries. That's why it's like, hey, if you can give
Giannis
a night off, or if you can only play him 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20, just to get his legs warm or whatever, right? I just take care of the starters as much as possible. Obviously, you can't you probably don't want to rest all of them. Some of them still need, like, to, you know, get the, especially, like, coming out of this FIFA break, I would assume they'll play the game before Miami just to get their legs, you know, ready to go. But maybe the game after you know, I don't have the schedule in front of me, but maybe the game after them, you go with an alternate squad and you just go from there. But yeah, we'll see. I think the game is on BN Sports. And people are going to be listening to this and the game's probably going to be over. But I did see it's probably going to be on BN Sports. But yeah, we'll move on from that. Obviously, the game people are talking about, the matchup they're talking about is Monterrey into Miami. Like I said, we won't go into a full analysis. I think we'll do a separate podcast. I know we're trying to coordinate with some people. I'm trying to coordinate with some people. I'll be a little bit more aggressive in this week that's coming, or, you know, probably, you know, over the weekend. See what I can get in terms of people to come on the podcast. I think we'll probably do, you know, previewing the first leg and then previewing the second leg. And then, you know, if Monterrey advances, we'll do a post game or a post matchup. If Monterrey doesn't advance, I don't want to talk about that thing anymore. But what was just your initial thoughts when Monterrey, when it became official that they were going to play in Miami?
I don't know. I mean, I like that possibility. It's going to be fun. Obviously, we want to see Rayados against a team like this with the stars they have. It's always going to be fun. I'm just kind of, I don't know how to put it. It's a kind of like a weird feeling. Like, I know the stadium, for example, everybody's going to be reselling for like crazy prices. So the people that are going to be in the stadium are not necessarily, you know, the biggest fans of Rayados. They just want to be there to watch Messi and stuff like that. I don't love that, just because I love the stadium being full on Rayados support, pretty much no cameras, just screaming and watching and doing all that. But, you know, it's Messi at the end of the day.
It's what's funny is that if Monterrey gets a good advantage, the question is, will Messi play? Like, if Monterrey leaves Miami with like a 3-0 aggregate lead, right? Or 4-1, or like I would say a 3-goal advantage, right? On aggregate.
Yeah.
Messi's not getting younger. He's gonna have to play. I'm assuming he's gonna play Copa America. He's not playing the friendlies.
Yeah, he's gonna play Copa America. Yeah.
So like, will Tata Martino want to like risk him playing that 3-goal? You know, like, we're down 3 goals. Do I want to waste one of Messi's, like a Messi bullet, right, in going to Mexico? Knowing that, that's going to be the thing right there, right? Like, that's if they have paid crazy amounts of prices for a ticket, damn, they're going to be. I mean, you still get to see Suarez, Busquets, and Alba, but I'm pretty sure the main reason why the ticket is that price is to see Messi.
Yeah, and actually, I don't think he's going to come to Monterrey. I think the injury kind of thing that he's been going on about is going to continue. I think it's a little bit exaggerated, of course, like they're just protecting him so that he doesn't play like any additional minutes that maybe he doesn't need. But I think he'll play against Rayados in Miami, of course, see how that game plays out. And then from there, they'll see what they do. But I'm not scared of Messi against Rayados, honestly. Like,
yeah, let's get into that. I know we got like about 6-7 minutes left to record here before you gotta go. What, like you said, I've only seen Inter Miami play 2.5 games. I saw the second half of that first leg against Nashville. I saw the full 90 minutes against Nashville in that second leg. Or the first leg, I saw the first 30 minutes, or the last 30, like the second half of that first leg against Nashville. And then I saw the full 90 minutes in that second leg. And then MLS season pass was free over the weekend. And I saw game against DC United from
one. Without Messi.
Yeah, without Messi. But you still got, you know, Suarez, you still got Busquets. I think Alba came in as a sub, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
But the 3 of the 4 played. So you got a good dosage. They got their other starters in Gomez and Redondo and Aviles.
Yeah.
or Avila. I think it's Avila or Avila.
Leo Campana as well.
Yeah, so they got most of their starters playing right in that game except for Messi. What's your takeaway on that? Like you said, no, I'm not scared of Messi. I think Messi will get his. To me, it's what these other teams haven't done, especially Nashville, considering, you know, it was a CONCACAF Champions Cup. I don't know how much you watched that game, but Nashville did not take. I mean, first they got up 2-0, right? And I think if they only defend for 15 minutes because they fell apart in the final 15 minutes where Inter Miami was able to use the Messi magic, the Luis Suarez and Messi magic to level the scoring, mm-hmm. And then go back home 2-2. And again, it was the Messi and Suarez magic in those first 20, 25 minutes or whatever that they scored and went up to, 2-0, and eventually 3-0 with the Suarez assist. I feel like if Monterrey can just limit that type of magic from happening, and I feel like they can. Obviously, Monterrey has a way better defense than Nashville. The only player I can name off of Nashville's defense is Walker Zimmerman, and he didn't play in that second leg. And I feel like Monterrey has way better defenders. if everyone's healthy, if Victor Guzman is healthy, if Hector Moreno is healthy, if Arteaga is healthy, and whether they go with Stefan Medina or Eric Aguirre, I feel like that back line is way better than Nashville or DC United, because that I'm not saying they're going to stop them from scoring, but they can at least – they're not going to, like, lose marks. Like, I've seen Nashville and DC United just completely, like, forget where Suarez is, or they don't press them enough, right? They – I don't know if you want to add something to that. I know you saw a little bit of that DC United game, and mm-hmm. I saw one of the Suarez goals where they're just jogging back and they're not pressing him. Like, they let him take his time to score a goal. I feel like Monterrey's not going to do that. But anything you want to add to that, just because I feel like Monterrey is just not going to be that bad at defending. I'm not saying that they're not going to score their goals. It's just Monterrey's going to make it difficult. At least that I can say that.
Yeah, I agree. I trust Monterrey in that sense. I think we have way more talent in the back or the defending side of things than a lot of MLS teams. So in that sense, we've seen Messi or Inter Miami played against Cruz Azul. I think that's the only like Mexican team.
Yeah, and that was a terrible Cruz Azul team because Tuca Ferretti got fired like a couple.
Yeah, and they won because of Messi magic like in the final minute. So, you know, that can happen. Of course, at the end of the day, he's one of the greatest even today in the world, even though he's older. But you know, but it's 11v11, so. Yeah, I'm not that scared about it all. Messi plays pretty much in the middle of the park. He'll have Corcho Rodriguez there. He'll have Victor Guzman, who I love, and we'll be defending him as well. Like, I think we'll be okay. We're very different than a lot of MLS teams. You saw the DC United game. Saw how DC United defended Inter Miami without Messi. Which was insane. So, I mean,
DC United had a lot of in those first 20 minutes. They should have scored another goal or two because, again, Inter Miami's defense isn't very good. I mean, they got one promising player, and then they got Jordi Alba. But even
they
like
let go, wanted... they let go. I forgot his name. The Canadian defender,
Kamal Miller.
Yeah,
so. He went to Portland, but they're getting the third string guy from, I think, second or third string guy from Boca Juniors.
Yes,
the guy that's the backup to Luis Advíncula. Who's, yes. I mean, you're grabbing a guy who couldn't beat out a guy who couldn't like make it in Liga MX because Advíncula couldn't play. He didn't cut it at Tigres, right? Yeah. To me, it's still going to be the same. I don't see it, and like that's not a difference maker. No. And that's the way it is. That's the way it is for MLS, right? Like I said, I feel like Cincinnati was the outlier that they have guys like Miazga, at least competent defenders like Miazga, Robinson, and Yedlin. Well, and whether, you know, and now you get an MLS team where it's Inter Miami, where it's all up in the front, right? You guys got to worry about their attack. They got a good midfielder. I like Redondo. Like when I was watching that DC United game, the Gomez kid, and Redondo really stood out, like outside of like Vasquez, or no, Vasquez, Busquets, Alba, and, like outside of those guys, because you know it's a different story. But Redondo and Gomez, like to me, stood out. Like those are the guys that kind of stood out to me. Like oh shit, like these are really good players, right? But nobody on their defense, nobody on their backline, kind of made me think like, oh, Monterrey cannot score on this. Monterrey's going to have all their chances. They just have to capitalize on them. They have to score. They have to score. Exactly. Guys. They have to be clinical because Inter Miami is going to give you chances. And you saw it against Nashville. Nashville, they had their chances. They nearly had them down 3-0, but it was called offside. But then, you know, they fell apart just with their defending. I mean, okay, you just got to defend for 15 minutes and you're going back to Miami up 2-0. But yeah, I feel like if Monterrey can watch the tape on all these MLS teams and see what they're doing wrong, I feel like it's Monterrey 55, Inter Miami 45 in terms of percentage, just because I do not trust Inter Miami's defense. And I feel like that's where the matchup is going to be won. If Inter Miami's defense does bend but doesn't break like what they did against Nashville, Inter Miami has a chance to beat Monterrey. But if they break, Monterrey should have a field day with that. Like if they can break that defense, like, and I mean break them, then you know they should advance. But anything else you want to add on that before we go?
No, it's pretty much the same. It's just a very interesting matchup. Like Inter Miami is a weird team. They have very good players, but they have very bad players at the same time. They let go of a lot of players just because they need to make room for to, you know, be in order with the rules of MLS, which a lot of people are saying that they're really not. But that's another story as well. But I don't know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun.
Last thing I want to add or ask you before we go. Do you subscribe to the Messi or to the conspiracy that CONCACAF is going to push Messi like and Inter Miami to the next round? Like, because the only controversial calls, and they really didn't have an effect. Well, maybe one, I guess you can say the third goal from Inter Miami where it's subjective whether I think it was Shaq Moore was on or offside in that third goal if you want to go back and look at it. But other than that, and it was a Mexican referee, so it's like, you know, the Mexican referees are terrible. So, you know, but do you subscribe to that? Do you believe in that? Do you believe, okay, Inter Miami is going to, you know, they're going to get the push from the referees and all that stuff? I feel like, and they didn't get, to me, it didn't feel like that in that second leg against Nashville either. It's not like, oh, here's a borderline penalty, you know, to Messi or Suarez. Here it is, you know. I feel like that, again, I might be wrong, because then next thing you know, shit happens in the first or second leg, and, you know, things go crazy. But from what I've seen in that first matchup against Nashville, other than, like, the missed, I think it was Redondo that checked Schaffelberg. like it was hockey, but you know, there was some missed calls, like the Nashville player, the Nashville player's foul on Messi. You know, so there were some like questionable non-red cards or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. But is there, like, do you think there's that theory or conspiracy theory? Do you could subscribe to it, or do you feel like, nah, Monterrey, if everything is equal, which I feel like it's going to be, you know, if we get like an American referee or, you know, U.S. referee or a Canadian referee, which, you know, I feel like that's going to, or the Costa Rican referee wasn't that bad between Cincinnati and Monterrey. But do you subscribe to that theory that, oh, CONCACAF is going to want to push Inter Miami to the semifinals?
I mean, if they were able to decide, then they would. But I don't think it's like, I don't subscribe to it. Obviously, they prefer that. As a league or as a federation, but it's obviously not something that I think they tell the refs, hey, call them this way. I think the refs, you know, refs in general, we're in a bad situation regarding refs globally. Refs in CONCACAF are no better. And refs in CONCACAF, you know, it's like back in the days when Pelé was playing in the US, like, as a referee, if you're used to refereeing players from Mexico, the US, Costa Rica, and then all of a sudden this guy comes in who's probably the greatest of all time, you might you might enjoy, try to enjoy him more on the pitch. So, I don't know. It's just, I think it's more, it's obviously not something that is an order to make him go through, but obviously as he's on the pitch, he gets some respect that, that referees sometimes give him. And, because of his statue, you know.
Anything else you want to add on that matchup? Like I said, we'll go more in details, line by line, all that stuff. But anything you want to add on that that you want to get across in terms of that matchup?
No, not really. Just want the international break to be over with, and I'm ready for this little run of games. The Inter Miami games are really interesting. We'll, like you said, we'll have some good podcasts. So let's wait for that so that we can speak more in. In detail about this matchup.
Pat, and we try to jam as much as we can in 45 minutes. Hopefully we did enough
to recap it was good.
Everything that's gone on. But anything you want to add in general, where can people find you, all that stuff?
No, nothing really right now. I'm at Tsunami Picks on Twitter or X. I don't know if people call it X. I don't think anybody does, but on Twitter, I'm trying to be more active like I was before, especially with Rayao's stuff. So find me there. We'll chat. And nothing else.
Follow the account at Rayados90. Check out the website, Rayados90.com. I'm going to be doing some podcasts with like Inter Miami supporters. I think the Monday before the first leg, in English and Spanish. So, that's going to be interesting and fun. Like you said, Pat, we're trying to get some people from Inter Miami. I'm going to reach out this weekend and start setting up some stuff. So we'll definitely have like a lot of content on that stuff because obviously we want to take advantage of the messy bump. I won't ask you for a prediction yet, especially if you come. Well, you know what? Give me a prediction because just in case, you know, we're not able to advance or to get to link up. How do you see the matchup? What is your prediction? Your aggregate score?
Aggregate score, I'm gonna go like 4-2 for Rayados.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah,
I think there's gonna be a lot of goals.
I think that's where I'm leaning. I think Monterrey. A part of me wants Monterrey to like win comfortably in Miami, mm-hmm. so they can come back and like just take care of business at home and just play it out. But I feel like it will be 2-2. I think it will be 2-2 in Miami and then 2-1 in Monterrey. I think it's going to be 4-3 like that. I feel like we're going to be intense like that. But yeah, I see Monterrey going through. Just like I said, if Monterrey just takes advantage of that defense, they shouldn't have an issue. Like I said, follow the Twitter account at Rayados90. Go check out the website at Rayados90.com. Sorry for studying there. But yeah. Pat, I'm Eddie. Thanks for listening.